Well, I gave you a clue about our Bible reading this morning. Comes from the book of Deuteronomy, means second law. Moses is on the brink of ushering his people into the promised land. It's at the end of his life, and Deuteronomy is really his farewell speech to the people of Israel. Listen to what he thought was important to tell them. Moses convened all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and ordinances that I am addressing to you today. You shall learn them and observe them diligently. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. Not with our ancestors did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain out of the fire. At that time, I was standing between the Lord and you to declare to you the words of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire and did not go up the mountain. And he said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male or female slave or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slaves may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you, so that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, neither shall you commit adultery, neither shall you steal, neither shall you bear false witness against your neighbor, neither shall you covet your neighbor's wife, neither shall you desire your neighbor's house or field or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. You know, these past weeks we have been focusing on how God loves us and how God claims us. At the 8:30 service, we've been singing the refrain of the song that's given us our theme for this season we're in Scripture. The words of the chorus are these: "Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you, and you are mine. I hope the stories that we've been reading together from the Bible these last 5 weeks have helped you to realize that the God of the Old Testament is not a harsh taskmaster, as some of us have been wont to think, but rather God of the Old Testament is the same God that we read about in the New Testament, the God that sent his Son to save us. Always God is loving us and working for the good in our lives. These Old Testament stories show us that love just as surely as the New Testament stories do if we just pay attention. In Genesis, a few weeks ago, we read about how God noticed Adam's loneliness in the garden, realized that there was not a fitting companion for Adam. And he said, this isn't good. It's not right for man to be alone. Life is too hard for that. So into the fabric of creation itself, God created, designed human companionship to be a foundational piece for life. And then when God wanted to bless the people, he started with a specific couple, Abraham and Sarah, and he provided for them something that gave them a delight that only this one thing could have done, brought love and laughter back into their lives with the birth of their son, the son that they named Isaac. Next, we saw how God enters into our human relationships and into our human struggles to bring reconciliation and healing in the story of Abraham's grandson, Jacob, and his brother Esau, who were united after being apart for way too many years, reconciled because God entered into the struggle with them. Last week, if you were here, you heard from Carol about how God was listening and heard the cries of his people when they were suffering, and how God chose someone to enter into that suffering and help the people in their distress, and how he equipped his chosen one, Moses, with a remarkable power to do the work that he called Moses to do of saving the people from their suffering. These stories show us again and again and again that God loves us in truly remarkable ways, always advocating for us, always seeking to bless us, always paying attention to us. But sometimes we don't recognize the blessings that God provides. That's certainly true when it comes to the teaching of the Ten Commandments. Typically, when we teach students about the Ten Commandments, they see them as a list of rules and regulations and cannots. But as we read them today, I hope you heard that these commandments carry incredible blessings, even in how Moses shares them with the people. This is actually the second time that Moses has shared the commandments with the people. He tells them the first time was when he came down from Mount Sinai. He also calls it Mount Horeb, where there had been smoke and fire and clouds, and the people were kind of afraid. And God shared these words with Moses, and he brought the words to the people. Thus says the Lord your God. And now, at the end of his life, the people have finally reached the promised land. Moses is not going to enter the promised land with them. His work is finished. He has fulfilled the calling that God had for him. But he has this final testimony to what matters most that he shares with the people. He wants, and as he's talking to the gathered people, you have to remember that this is a people, not just the people who left Egypt with him some 40 years ago. This is a generation of people now probably close to 30 or 40 years old themselves, who were born in those wilderness years, and maybe their children, maybe their grandchildren. So he's speaking to new generations, and he wants these generations and all of the generations that come after him to know that God's covenant is with them. It's with us. We are God's people, and God is our God. And our God is a God who longs to bless us all deeply. We may have thought that the commandments existed to teach us what to do in order to please God, but in the light of what we're learning about God this fall, I hope that we might see them more as teachings to help us live with one another without causing harm, perhaps even live with one another in ways that bring blessing into one another's lives. The commandments are intended as words of blessing to create a world in which each of us can be treated with care and respect. The commandments show us how to do that. But God also asks that we treat our relationship with God with respect. But that's a little trickier for us, to be in relationship with the one who brought all of this into being. The Israelites struggled with that, creating a very complex sacrificial system, thinking we need to make sacrifices. That's what God wants. But perhaps this is exactly why God sent his son, that it was hard for people to figure out how to be in good relationship with God. So suddenly, with Jesus, God has a face and a voice that people can hear and respond to. And when he was here with us, Jesus gave us a new commandment that echoed exactly the commandment that Moses shared at this brink of entering the promised land. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And then Jesus added a second commandment, perhaps so that the second commandment could show us exactly how loving God could look. Love your neighbor as yourself. God wants to be loved, and God wants us to love God by loving each other. Moses' teaching, though, at this brink of the promised land also gives us some insight into how to honor God. We honor God certainly when we keep God's commandments, and we also honor God when we hold God's teachings near to our heart and when we share those teachings with others. At our 8:30 service this morning, we had parents present Bibles to their children in third grade. And so to see parents handing on the stories of Scripture to their children, you see what that's about. We have this treasure that we pass on to others, and that pleases God. The Israelite people and Orthodox Jews still today are so devoted to these teachings that came to them that they practice what Moses said, keeping the words that he says to hear close to their hearts. He says, "Hear, O Israel," the word is Shema, and the great Shema for the people of Israel are these words: "The Lord is our God, the Lord alone," or in some translations, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." Jewish people hold those words closely by doing simple things that help them never forget their relationship with God. They print those words on small pieces of parchment or paper, and then they put them in little leather boxes that they can tie around their foreheads. They call those phylacteries. You might see them if you see images of the wall in Jerusalem, where there are a lot of Hasidic or traditional Jewish people, or they put them in leather boxes and strap them to their arms with leather straps. Those are called tefillin. Or they put those words in little brass boxes that are screwed to the lintels of their doorways. And I want you to imagine how it would feel if each day when you entered your home or when you left your home to go out in the world, you were reminded, the Lord my God is one God, to keep central in your life this relationship that you have to God. It's a pretty devoted system of reminding themselves to remember their most important relationship. And I wonder, do you have some kind of reminders in your life? How do you remember this most important relationship that you have? I do it, I think, with my regular devotion practices, by my turning to God in prayer, by my being intentional about my time in Scripture. I wonder if you have favorite passages from Scripture. Do you tuck a Bible verse on a slip of paper in your wallet, or do you carry a token in your pocket that's got a Bible verse inscribed on it, or do you have a devotion book by your bedside or on your dining room table? What ways do you have to let the people in your life know how important faith is to you? Our staff took a little time this week at staff meeting to talk about how did our families do that for us? How did they share their faith with us? And it was always simple little things like saying bedtime prayers together or saying prayers before meals together, even simple formula prayers like God is great, God is good. Might have been things like lighting the Advent candles on an Advent wreath and telling the story of Jesus's coming into the world right before Christmas, or having special Christmas and Easter traditions to celebrate as a family. Or it might have been talking about or reading together from the Bible the passage that would be read in Sunday worship, reading it together Saturday night over dinner. Or maybe Sunday night at the end of the weekend, taking time for family devotions where you'd read that passage again, or maybe talk about together over Sunday dinner. What did you hear in worship today? What was the sermon about? What was that Bible passage about? And for some of us, it was simply watching the devotion of our parents, watching them in prayer, watching them tucked in to a comfy chair regularly with their Bible and their devotional material in their lap. And I wonder, maybe this week, could you tell a friend about a favorite Bible story of yours and just share why it's a favorite? Or is there a Bible character that just resonates with you? And might you tell somebody about that character and what you've learned about yourself by reading the story about that person in the Bible? Or maybe you'll have a friend who's going through a struggle and you might be able to refer to some story in Scripture to say, God's with you in that. You think that conflict you're having with your sister is bad. Boy, there's a story in Scripture about these two brothers. One of them did a heinous thing to the other, and they were able to reconcile because God was with them in that. God's with you too. You're not alone. Or you could try to remember that Faith 5 practice that Pastor Nate told us about a year ago, where you just take 5 minutes, maybe before bed or some other time during the day, and do 5 simple practices to keep your faith at the center. You share your highs and lows with the people who are closest to you. You might even do it by phone if you don't have somebody else in the house with you. Share your highs and lows. What went well during the day? Where were the struggle points or stress points during the day? Read a Bible verse or a story. Might be the passage that we share in worship. We have devotion books with all kinds of Scripture suggestions for daily reading. Read a passage in the Bible and see if you get any illumination from that passage about your joys or your struggles. And then take a minute just to pray. It can be just a sentence you pray for each other. And lift one another up so that you remind each other that you are being cared for by God. But you might need a little bit of a reminder. And I don't expect that any of you are going to strap leather boxes onto your foreheads, but I got a good idea from Prince of Peace Lutheran Church down in Burnsville. They had a practice, they may still, for a long time, where they gave people little dots to put on their watches as a reminder that it was time to pray. So I'm stealing their little dot idea, but I want you to put a dot on your watch, or most of you don't wear watches anymore because you have cell phones, so put a dot on your cell phone, and I want that dot to just be a reminder to you, I'm losing my dots, to just be a reminder to you, just pass these around, everybody take one, that the Lord your God, the Lord is one. The Lord your God, the Lord is one who loves you like nobody's business. The Lord your God, the Lord is one who loves you all the time, anywhere, anyhow. The Lord your God, the Lord is one. Here you can have choices. Who will never ever leave you alone, who will be with you in every struggle, be with you in every celebration. I've never done anything like this before. So, and I'm getting dots stuck all over me. I have two, one for my phone and for my watch. But I'd like to try it. I'd like to try it, and I want to ask you to try this for just 1 week, to wear a dot or carry a dot with you in a place or on an object where you'll see it a few times during the day. And every time you see it, remember, the Lord your God, the Lord is one who loves you. And just see how that shapes you. I'm asking for a week. Some of you may be, you know, pretty tenacious and you're willing to go it for a month. Try it for a month if you're willing and see how it shapes you to remember at least daily or multiple times a day that God loves you so much. And it does make a difference. It makes all the difference in the world. Thanks be to God.